I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is your home for New York Knicks basketball.
Throws it up top and with the slam.
WEPN-FM, New York, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Michael. This on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
We'll have to see, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us. It's a Friday, February 24th, 2023. Hope you're all doing well. The usual suspects are here, Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and New York Knicks basketball, as well as Net basketball, restarts after 9 days away. And I'm going to make a comment that will shock you all. First, I want to tell you that this is the NBA preview brought to you by Jackpocket. The next two games for the Knicks are going to tell us a lot. Tonight against Washington, and then tomorrow against the Pelicans at the Garden. And here's why it's going to tell us a lot. The Knicks have been very streaky. They won 5 out of 6 going into the break. They're in the 6th position right now, just ahead of Miami and a couple of games behind the Nets. And they got to win their fair amount of games. They have the 8th toughest schedule remaining in the NBA. But tonight will tell me a lot. Now, you look at the Wizards and you say, well, they're a team they should beat. They're under 500. But I believe that they've won 7 of their last 10. And the last time they played, the Wizards really embarrassed the Knicks. How do the Knicks play tonight? Do they get embarrassed again? Do they lose this game? And then you get a back-to-back right out of the gate, and it's against the Pelicans, who are not nearly as good with Zion Williamson laid up. What do they do at home? Because at home, they're not good. So well, if they start out this second half of the season, it's just the titular second half because – there's only 22 out of 82 games remaining, then they're in trouble because they also have a West Coast swing coming up as well. They've got to win these games tonight and tomorrow. Let's see what they do.
Yeah, you have to, and at the same time, you're absolutely right. The Wizards are not a pushover. I mean, don't forget, the Wizards beat the Knicks at the Garden the last time they played. They're a decent team. Michael, currently in the 10 spot, so it's not like they're not in the playoff picture.
10-4 last 14 games.
10-4 over the last 14, including a couple of pretty good wins in there. Beat the Mavericks. Let's see who else. Beat the Blazers. Beat the T-Wolves. Beat the Pacers. They're a decent team. You can't take them for granted. But, Michael, the amount of time left in this season for the Knicks is such, and this is kind of what makes, I think, the second half of this season so fun, is there's 22 games left. Like, there is not a lot of throwaway opportunity here for the rest of the way. If you're trying to get to that 5 seed, which I really think you want to get if you're a Knicks fan, I'm sorry. Like, what would be exciting, of course, having a decent record this year would be great. Seeing the development of Brunson and now Hart would be awesome. All would make you feel good. But, Michael, that would get sucked out a little bit if you play Philly in the first round and you're out 4-1. You would love to jump Brooklyn, get the 5 seed, and have a series with Cleveland that I think you could legitimately compete in.
Yeah, if they finish 5th, then they'll play the 4th team, which is Cleveland. So that would be big. If they finish sixth where they are right now, well, that's not what you want. Because as Peter said, that would make them face the Sixers. Now, if they finish in the play-in game and then they end up coming out of that, then they're facing either the Bucks or the Celtics. Now, we respect everybody that works for our station and our company. Kendrick Perkins, what was it on Barton Hahn?
Sure, Barton Hahn.
On Monday, said he can see the Knicks going to the conference final. Well, as the scene in When Harry Met Sally in the deli took place, you know, I'll have what he's having. I don't see how that's possible. Well, how would they reach the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well, he said best case scenario. He said he didn't think it would happen, but he wouldn't be surprised.
I'd be surprised.
Well, yeah, the best case scenario is they win the finals. Why not?
Well, but I don't think that's realistic. I guess you're going to need help. I mean, what if, you know, right now, Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, in that order, are the three teams with the best chance of going to the conference final, right? Could Philadelphia not get there? Sure. Bucks and Celtics, a little harder to believe. Seems like those two teams are destined. You're going to have to beat one of those two teams, by the way, to get there. Unless, you know, right, at least the second round. You're hoping to avoid having to do it in the first round. That's why I disagree with you yesterday, Peter. I didn't get a chance to jump on that where you said, like, I think there's a big difference finishing fifth and sixth. Huge difference. Because I think, you know, as much as Cleveland's going to be tough, I'd rather play Cleveland than possibly Philadelphia or the Bucks. It's only two games separating Milwaukee and Philadelphia. I don't want to have to play Milwaukee in the first round.
Well, and remember, listen, the top of the East is great in general. So just to be clear, outside of the Nuggets, the best four teams in the NBA are all the top of the Eastern Conference. So nothing super fun up there. Don't get me wrong. But I think we all fear that what if the Sixers have a year where they don't wilt in the playoffs? What if they have a year where when they get to the playoffs, I mean, they're 20 games above 500 right now, guys.
Right.
What do they do what do you do if you're a Knicks team and you're dealing with the Sixers who are actually in championship mode? That's I don't think any of us believe Cleveland has a chance at the whole thing. I think any of us would believe that you tell me things break a certain way, Philly wins the whole thing.
Now, the thing that I worked on, because I thought a lot about what could change in the second half for the Knicks. Like what has been overachieving? Who has been overachieving? Maybe the one thing that could turn around dramatically is their road record. There's only right now two teams with a better road record in the league than the Knicks. That's the Celtics and the 76ers. Mm. And the Knicks have 29 more games on the road. I find it difficult to believe
They can't have 29. They only have 22 games.
I'm sorry. They've played 29. Excuse me. I misspoke. Right. They played 29 games already, so they play, 41? So that gives them, 13 more road games. They played 31 home games. That's the positive. I don't think they'll play as well on the road as they have, but the home's got to be better, guys. You're playing at 16 and 15 at home, at the Garden, at the Mecca?
That's why I look at these two games as so important, Don. Hey. I mean, you got to beat the Wizards. You just have to because they embarrassed you the last time they played. And then you've got to beat a compromised Pelican team at the Garden. And because it's the second game of a back-to-back and at a place they have not defended home court, you got to make it happen. These two games are hugely important.
Now, looking at 17-12 on the road, third best in the league, 16-15, which I think it's ridiculous if you're playing close to 500 at home. So I would think they would probably do a little bit worse on the road, but they got to do much better at home. So maybe that'll be what gets them here is taking advantage of being at home. And I'm with you guys. These first two games are going to completely change the mood. Like when we get on the air Monday, we're going to have a completely different vibe of this team based on how they play in these two games. Lose both of them, you're going to have a completely different vibe. Win both, you're going to be sky high, and both are very winnable games. Lose both, guys. Come on, we got to stop talking about this team winning a round or even getting as high and just fait accompli passing the Nets.
That's why they're so frustrating, and that's why they became so exciting before the All-Star break because they look legitimate. They played really, really well. They won 5 out of 6. That's big. But now you've got Washington in D.C. tonight, New Orleans at home. Then on Monday, you've got the Boston Celtics at the Garden. And then on Wednesday, you have the Brooklyn Nets at the Garden. Got to win those games.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think Brooklyn is taking 2 to 3 games against you. And if they win the tiebreaker head-to-head, all of a sudden, if they're 3 games in front of the Knicks, then they're 4 games because you can't tie them because you would lose. That's a big game against Brooklyn. Then you go to Miami, and then you go to Boston. You're going to know a lot by that game. That game's over on Sunday, March 5th, exactly what the Knicks' intentions are. Do they tease us again, or have they legitimately turned a corner? Is Josh Hart that much of a difference maker? Getting back Mitchell Robinson, is that much of a difference maker? I think it can be. But these next these next 6 games are going to be just enormous, enormous.
You know, the other thing that needs to improve, guys, just taking a look at the top 10 teams in the conference, the Knicks have the second worst record in their division. And they're going to have a lot of divisional games coming up, right? 5-8. The Nets are 6-7. So there's things that definitely need to improve here, and I think they will, because we're judging this team based on a lot of what was tough basketball early on, but it's 5-6 to close out the break, 3 in a row before the All-Star break. Let's hope that this didn't come at a bad time for them, and they can keep the mojo going.
At least they've given us something to latch onto. Now, before we get into the full swing of baseball, and the Nets, in their own way, very, very interesting, because there is not a paucity of talent on the team. What there is, and I thought that Spencer Dinwiddie said it really, really well. He said, we've got guys that can hit shots. I think Spencer Dinwiddie has had the third most go-ahead shots in the last minute of a game in the NBA in the last couple of years. He likes to take the big shot. But he said the only difference is we've got guys that can hit the big shot, but without Durant and Kyrie, we don't have guys that will automatically get the call. And that's something to combat. So they've got a team that could be very good defensively. Bridges is great defensively. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, Claxton's having a really good year. They've got guys that can defend. Do they have guys that can score enough? Can they score enough? And what Jacques Vaughn wants them to do, and they start their second half tonight against the Chicago Bulls, he wants them to just play at a pace that other teams are not playing at. Don't start off slowly. Get the ball in transition and score. Can they do that? And the big question is the albatross that is Ben Simmons. Now, he can play defense with anybody, long arms. Oh, everybody in the starting lineup, by the way, and Simmons is not in the starting lineup. Everybody in the Nets starting five, except for Dinwiddie, mm-hmm. has a 7-foot wingspan. That means mm-hmm. you could play great defense. So they're going to be able to stop teams. Can they score enough without the stud guys that they lost? I think the Nets are a very intriguing team. Again, they're in Chicago. They start tonight. That game's on yes.
You know how much fun the next few months could be in sports? Because we could have our quote-unquote winter sports. We could have 5 series going on at the same time. It'll end up being 4 because I think the Devils and Rangers are going to play each other in the first round. But if you've got, you know, both the Knicks and the Nets, all 3 hockey teams in, the start of baseball season with so much optimism around, guys, April and May is going to be a ball here.
Yeah, it could be great.
I mean, really, we complain. All we do is complain about how we haven't had a championship in a long time and all that. But of the 9 teams that we follow, they could all be in the playoffs, especially if the Jets can get the quarterback, and I think they will. But that's for later on. But I'm just talking about as with spring training coming to an end, the optimism around the baseball teams, having the Knicks and the Nets in separate playoff series, maybe having the Rangers and Devils playing each other, the Islanders playing something else. Think of all the playoff basketball and hockey we're going to have on our air.
By the way, I want to congratulate the 3 of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
sense.
News to me.
Because it took us 12 minutes and 41 seconds into the show before we mention one of the football teams that are just making news because of conjecture.
That's my fault. There was no reason.
You think it should have been longer?
Well, it would have been longer if I just didn't have that observation.
It would have been longer, but I think 12:41 is big because usually we've been starting every show with it.
And all I said was the Jets should get their quarterback.
Right.
And I said, and that's for later. We didn't throw any names out.
No. I think we've done a great job.
I
truly believe. Now, you could all tell us differently. You can access us through social media or just call right in.
Right in.
Is it getting a little old?
Of course it is. Even if
Rodgers, Jones's contract, it's all talk, no action. Maybe we'll know something by Monday, but I'm not sure.
It's one of those have-to things, though.
I agree.
I mean, it's such a big story, you have to talk about it, but I think even Jet fans are like, all right, come on, let's do this already.
I know. I can't, like, continue to hear the name.
How about this? You know, I told you about Dinwiddie's big shot ability. So this is from the Post today. Dinwiddie has 6 go-ahead baskets in the last 10 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime since the start of 2017 and 18. Only two other players have more. DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Jokic. Pretty good.
Not nobodies.
No, not nobodies. One of them is the MVP and going to win again. All right, so that is the NBA preview brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $119 million.
Sure is.
Mega Millions is $126 million.
That's more.
Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. I'm also hearing something very exciting in the win for today. That Don has a daily Don list.
Yeah,
I mean, do.
Honestly, Michael, he better have a list because the way he was checked out during our meeting today, it means he either hates our guts or he's got a good list.
No, I think it could be both.
Really working on it. Because I thought about what Michael said, and he wasn't 100% engaged, although he did give it his old college try.
He did.
Boredom.
And I still love what I did because it's still getting a reaction. I'm still getting tweets. Freebird? Question mark? Like almost 24 hours later. So it worked for what we're trying to do, but it did anger a lot of people. But this one I think is on topic. It's well thought out. And I wanted to use – and I apologize if I was a little quiet during the meeting, but I was really putting in the work. Because it's one of those things where I've got to –
It's who you are, Don.
Because each of the numbers – that represent the top five have like an explanation. There's some stats to go behind it and things that have to be explained. I want to have it all laid out.
Now, in terms of our, you know, get out the vote sort of initiative here on the show where we're trying to press the flesh, tomorrow I will be at the afternoon game at Fordham. Come by, say hello.
Give me
a hug. Just don't put your hands on my shoulder. Say hello. And tonight, signing autographs of Blondies will be Peter and Ballard. Come join the Ramley. They'll be watching the Knick game there. Come by, say hello to them. They want to say hello. Ballard is a silent partner in the show.
What a terrible, terrible, terrible human being you are.
Why?
Don, did I say at any point I wanted my plans to be aired out publicly?
For everything that we protect Michael from.
Right. Oh, yeah. Everything.
We've been able to keep where he lives a secret. A lot of other things that we've been able to keep on the back burner for him, and he just throws out exactly where you're going to be. It's not right.
I didn't think it was a big deal.
You know, it's gotten to the point, Peter. I'm glad you brought this up. I don't know if you do this. There are things I don't tell Michael because I'm afraid it's going to make the air.
Because you're smarter than me.
No. Here's what you do. Tell me something and say, that's not for the air. And you know what? It will never reach the air.
No, that I agree with, but it's different. Some things are just.
What are you doing tonight, Don?
I'm going to be on the.
People can see you?
I'm going to be on the Acela to D.C. Right.
Oh, so if you're on the Acela to D.C. tonight,
right.
Stop by. Are you in the quiet car, Don?
I honestly don't know where I am. I called the MSG Travel and they booked it and I got the ticket and I'm just going to show up at Metro Park.
So if they put you in steerage, you wouldn't even ask any questions.
Well, no, I don't think I'm going to be in steerage.
But he'd take it.
I'm just, it's a nice, what time, 8:41, what time do you think I arrive in D.C.?
I'd say close to midnight.
Peter?
What time do you take off?
8:41.
And you're going to Union Station?
Yeah.
On the Acela, you'll get there at 11:33.
Wow, very good. Peter wins 11:04.
How does he win? He's way over.
I'm close.
You were over too. He was
closer.
We're
both losers, just like in the Price is Right.
I got Rangers, Capitals, an ABC vehicle, by the way, tomorrow at 1.
Now let me ask you a question, Don. When the puck is dropped and you're about to do another unbelievable stretch of play by play. Will Patrick Kane be a Ranger? Because there's some maneuvering going on now. It looks like it could be happening.
I believe this is going to happen. Now, whether it will happen in time for 1 o'clock tomorrow, I can't say. But reports are that it seems like there'll be some resolution within the next 24 hours. And unfortunately for me, a huge Ranger deal involving Patrick Kane will probably happen to where I'll get a chance to talk about it Monday when it's like 2 days later and it's going to be stale, as opposed to happening like during the show. No, so because Anthony and I were joking about it during the podcast, it's probably going to happen sometime late tonight, but not in time for him to be in D.C. I think he'll. My prediction, again, this is just me talking. I have not talked to anybody. Drury was not on the trip with the Rangers, but I'm just reading the tea leaves. Two players, Jake Lecision and Vitaly Kravtsov, were pulled off the ice. That always tells you that something's going on. Nobody was injured. It wasn't waivers. It wasn't salary cap implications. They were taken off the ice because it looks like they're going somewhere. And it sounds like Kane only wants to go to the Rangers, so rumors are popping. And I just have a feeling that he'll be in the lineup against the Kings on Sunday. But I'm not hearing that from anybody. I'm getting a feeling this is going to happen.
Are you doing the Kings game on Sunday?
I am not. That's another reason why I have that feeling. Kenny's doing it. It's a Kenny vehicle.
Well, I'm sorry.
And Anthony Pusick's going to be in the building Sunday.
Why?
I don't know. He's cleaning. He's going to go to the game to enjoy the game.
He's taking in the game. He's a Ranger fan, for God's sake. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, what is wrong with
you? Have you noticed, by the way, we don't show Anthony all the time. Every time the Rangers play, he has a Ranger paraphernalia wearing. He's wearing it. Every time. A Ranger pullover, a Ranger t-shirt. He does it all the time. In fact, it's a little troubling.
Why is it troubling?
Because he has to be objective. He's an objective reporter now. Yes, he does.
Do you think he has to be, as the producer of the Afternoon Drive show, has to be objective?
Yeah.
When there are hosts on Afternoon Drive that do not have said objectivity.
Well, they're children then.
Peter's a child?
Well, when it comes to like New York teams, Peter isn't like that.
I was taken to task for not giving a strong opinion on the Eastern Conference final game with the Rangers and the Lightning.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But it is just a coinky dink that he's not a New York fan, because he's a Commanders fan, but if he happened to be a Giant or Jet fan,
he would be
wearing his heart on his sleeve. Why not?
Maybe I'm wrong.
You should have seen me soaking up every minute of that Eric Bieniemy press conference yesterday. Oh,
by the way, who told Eric Bieniemy how to tie a knot?
No, you know what? Let me tell you something right now, Don. Let me tell you something. I got myself a coordinator.
You don't have a male model, I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you how I know I have a coordinator, because that man is not meant to be wearing a tie. Get that man a sweatshirt, cut off the sleeves, and get him out there with a clipboard. But that look was very strange.
Oh, the collar is, do you have a mirror, Eric?
The thing that, this is not going to be like what happened with the Giants, with the bad hair and the bad suit. This was a great hire for them. He has a tremendous press conference, to the point where people are like openly saying, how can you say this guy interviews poorly? He won the day. And the thing you got from it is he can't tie a knot?
But I will tell you this, in all seriousness, if he came into interviews looking like that, that's a strike against him. I'm sorry, it just is. It's a strike against him.
I hear you, but that's so dumb. Football players just don't even dress up.
The people that own teams they're not all geniuses.
You know what? Michael makes a great point.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go to the phones. Let's do it. Let's see what you're thinking and saying and hoping and dreaming. Evan and Queen, start it off.
What up, guys? How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. So I agree with you guys. The Knicks have to play the Cavs in the first round. The main reason being, in my opinion, unlike those other teams, the Cavs don't have a superstar. Jalen Brunson destroyed Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs last year. I could see him doing it again. And I know this is an old point, but it's very much the reason, still to this day, I'm happy they didn't make the terrible Donovan Mitchell trade.
What? But terrible. Why? You don't think the Knicks would have been a better team with Donovan Mitchell?
I do. But just generally speaking, why would you ever mortgage the future for the present if the path to a championship isn't clear? They're not winning a championship with Donovan Mitchell.
Well, they're closer to it than they are now. So what's their future hold? What have they done with their last couple of first-round picks? I mean, Obi Toppin excites you? R.J. Barrett excites you?
Oh, well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if that ball lands differently and they get Zion Williamson or John Morant, this is a totally different conversation. I was happy with what they were doing. They just had some bad luck,
that's the whole thing about a draft, Evan. You want to hold on to draft picks, and so much luck plays into it. But also, they took Obi Toppin instead of Halliburton. Why?
Yeah, that was on
them. Well, that was a mistake, too. That's on them. I agree.
You're proving my point, though, Evan, because draft picks are fool's gold. When's the last time they had a – think about it, Don and Peter. When's the last time they had a draft pick that moved you? When? Am I missing somebody? Had a draft pick that moved you?
Well, Frederick Weiss moved a lot of people, but that movement, was
the wrong direction.
It was going in the wrong direction. No, you're right. Michael, but what I would ask the caller is, what would they have given up that could lead to a championship? Again, he's talking about picks. Where were they going to pick where they're going to get that player? Other than just the luck of hoping that somebody in the mid-range would drop to them, like what happened with Milwaukee and Golden State, where you had these transcendent players that weren't taken with the top pick overall. But most of the time, it's really in the top two, three picks that you can really get somebody that's going to move the needle. What were they giving up in the Donovan Mitchell deal, Michael, that would cost them a championship?
Nothing other than a lot of draft picks and possibly R.J. Barrett.
Right. So... And I think, they could win a championship with R.J. Barrett, not because of R.J. Barrett. So, he said they'd be better. He admitted they'd be better. We're talking about a team that could finish as the 5 seed. So, what would better be? Maybe being the Philadelphia 76ers, being a 3 seed. Yeah. So I wanted to jump him, Michael? Terrible. We wouldn't have made the terrible Donovan Mitchell deal. It would have been terrible.
And also, he also started the whole thing, Donovan Mitchell's not a superstar. I'm sorry, but he is.
I mean, listen, I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Back before the Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland thing happened, I was on the radio saying, I don't believe he's of the level of player that you need to, like, quote-unquote, mortgage your future. I don't think he's a highest-level star. Watch what I'm going to do here. Watch.
Wow.
I was wrong. I was wrong. You should have done it. You should have done it.
We're rolling on this?
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be one of those hacks who's loud on the radio and doesn't admit it. There's tape of it. I was definitely like, oh, Donovan Mitchell doesn't change everything. Right now, because remember, this is post-Brunson. If they had been able to have Brunson, Mitchell, Randall, and Barrett being gone does not affect how I see this team at all, except the positive of gaining Mitchell. I'm sorry, guys. We may not be talking about a championship team, but we're talking about a team that you're feeling much different about matching up with Philadelphia.
And guys, don't you feel like in the NBA right now, it's more wide open than it's probably ever been in like the last 2 decades? Like, I understand the whole idea when it was Cleveland and Golden State every year, or whatever team LeBron James was on, and then somebody in the West or East, depending on what team he was on, was going to go to the final. Then you felt like, well, we're just one of 28 other teams. Who cares? But now the Bucks can win a championship. The Celtics can win a championship. You know, would you go as far as Philadelphia? And then the whole West. I mean, who's coming out of the West? Could be like four teams, right?
And, you know, we keep talking about Philadelphia. I don't know if you all were watching yesterday. Philadelphia won a really good game against Memphis. Really good game against a good Memphis team. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Peter. Ever since Memphis had that run with Shannon Sharpe, they've been a completely different team.
He can't win. That's what he did. And, by the way, maybe he put a battery in the Lakers' back because they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah. That was, those were two good games. 1-800-919-3776. We go to John in Farmingdale. Johnny.
Michael, John, and Michael, Don, and Peter, how are you today?
Good. How are you, John?
Even continuing with the conversation of the Knicks, yes, I still feel they are one superstar away. They have a nice core there, but still, maybe that one game changer is missing. Could we find out in the next 25 games or so who that could be? Could Barrett really take on that level? But no, they might still be missing that shooter, and now you have those extra draft picks. You could really assess the good of what you have. Maybe they jump up to the four, jump Cleveland, could take that home court, play a tough 5, 6, 7 game series, go to the second round, get really exposed. And really, especially, too, when you go out west next month, the west is wide open, too, like you guys were saying. So there's a lot of opportunity there for the Knicks to really show who they are. But there's also a lot of opportunity where you could see this team looking to the future, getting better with all those draft picks they picked up. And it might still be time either way. What happens at the end of this year, they need to do something big with those picks without mortgaging too much of the good that's on this roster right now.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you certainly are a positive guy, and you presented it well. But, I mean, they have a nice core, but they have a core that will always finish fourth or fifth in the East. They're not going to win a championship with this core. And, yeah, you know, I made the point about Donovan Mitchell. There are very few times that great players become available. Now, because of the Nets and the sketchy nature of the players that they had in terms of their devotion to their team, there were two all-time players that became available. Knicks weren't in on either of them. The Knicks were in on Donovan Mitchell. So even with all these draft picks, who's going to become available during the offseason? Who? Who's it going to be? If it's Anthony Davis, you know what's going to happen? Anthony Davis is going to be traded to Dallas for the contract of Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving could be reunited with LeBron. What other great player do you think is going to shake loose and become available for the Knicks? They've got to get really lucky in the draft because their draft pick is going to be what, like 17 to 23?
Their best hope is, like I said before, when Curry dropped to 8th, when Giannis dropped to, 15?
Yep.
You know, they're going to have to pick somewhere in the middle of the first round and have a player just explode that nobody thought. That's what you're hoping for, and that's why I don't think these picks are as valuable as fans make them out to be, because how often does that happen? Now, if it's the first overall pick, you know, it's a different story. But when you're talking about these mid-level first-round picks, yeah, you might luck into something. Otherwise, who on this – that's why I asked the caller. Who on this core would they have given up to Utah that would have hurt them?
It's so funny how people, I mean, it's a continuation, and it happens in all sports. They fall in love with the guys that got drafted by the team. So who's the player or players that excite you the most on the Knicks right now? I would say they're probably Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. Oh, they weren't drafted by the Knicks. One was a free agent, one was acquired in a trade. So there are some homegrown Knicks. R.J. Barrett, I don't think he excites anybody, especially since he hurt his hand. He was good before that. He hasn't been good since. Mitchell Robinson is a serviceable player that has a hard time staying on the court with foul trouble and also injuries every single year.
Well, this
every
is
year. Quentin Grimes is good.
Yeah,
this is kind of show.
McBride is good, but there's no homegrown player that makes me excited about the Knicks. I don't get people.
No, you're right, and I understand why people have struggled to let go of it with Barrett, because he had a few moments here that made people believe he could be that guy. And as for Mitchell Robinson, this is show me time. This 22 game stretch, this is where he can show how valuable he could potentially be. Because Michael, you're right. Everyone seems to love his upside; they just don't get enough of it.
Right. Always hurt. Always in foul trouble. Always. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. Spike.
Spike.
Hey, boys. Okay, let me recap this in a nutshell. There's three major – first of all, I want to make a comment that I really don't want to make. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you guys know how much I love the Knicks and love the NBA. They've almost ruined the season for me with their aberrant behavior. So I'm going to put that on the shelf and go back to the team I love. The Knicks have to maintain three things here in the next 22 games. Continue to keep the turnovers down. Continue to out-rebound the opponents. And here's the one that's going to get to you, Michael. End-of-game free-throw shooting. The Knicks have lost. They're 7-18. I've told you this before, and you gave me a nice compliment and said that's a great stat. 7-18 in the last two possessions of games, most of them at home, where they've blown leads. Turnovers, ball kicked off someone's leg, bad inbound passing, panicking. It looked like a panic. You can remember every game. I'm not just talking the Dallas game. If they maintain this and wind up 13-9 or 12 and whatever, they have three games with the Heat. And I'll give you another gem out of my old mind. Never, ever underestimate Pat Riley. Picking up Kevin Love could be a brilliant move. But I do say this. I'll give Julius Randle a credit. I'm a big critic of him. I don't think he should touch the ball at the end of the game. He has a precipitous drop in his free throw percentage. His turnover rate has gone down this year, but not in the last 3-4 minutes of the game. When you lose 60% of your last two possession games, most of them at home, that has to be corrected. Well, now,
that's why I say these next two games are huge. They got to beat Washington, and obviously they also have to win tomorrow against New Orleans.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My God, what do you guys not understand? Mitchell, Randle, and Brunson would not work at all. Only way if Randle is gone, all three of those guys need the ball on their hands. Like, come on, think. Well, what I would say is the Knicks tried to acquire Donovan Mitchell. So you would think, I don't know, Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau kind of understand exactly what they're getting into. Every great NBA player needs the ball. And we used to say that, you know, Randle needs the ball to be great. Well, he actually has given up the ball to Brunson, and he's become even better, and he made the All-Star team. Great players work together and learn how to share the basketball. I don't buy that at all, that the only way they can be successful is the ball in their hands, because Julius Randle's proving that. Remember the last couple of years, he would just dribble, 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 turn the ball over or force a shot. That's not the case now, because Brunson's getting him the ball in places where he can score easily. That's the key. But don't tell me the three of them can't exist. The guys on Golden State exist. The guys on Philadelphia exist. Stop it.
But you said that's the money quote. They still wanted him.
They definitely
wanted
him. It wasn't like
they didn't pursue him for that reason. They wanted him. They didn't get him. Now, you maybe as a fan didn't think it was going to work, but the Knicks did, and the Knicks tried.
Yeah. The fact that they tried, and he's telling me you guys just don't get it. So they don't get it either.
So they don't get it.
So then you shouldn't root for them, because if they don't get it, that's what they wanted. Brunson was already there. That's the one mistake that people make, that they wouldn't have gotten Brunson if they got Mitchell. Brunson was signed when they tried to get Mitchell. And Julius Randle was not part of the deal. So it was going to be Brunson, Randle, and Donovan Mitchell. So, Mr. Chaotic, I think you owe some kind of an email to Leon Rose or to World Wide West or Thibodeau, because that's what they wanted. That was their dream. Not just us. Now, Peter, I want to shift gears for a moment, because something intrigues me about a fight that's taking place on Sunday.
I imagine you're talking about Jake Paul.
Yeah, now Jake Paul is a YouTube sensation who's made a lot of money in these celebrity fights. But now this is a real boxing match against Tommy Fury. And, you know, on ESPN.com, there's actually a timeline that this guy could actually be fighting for a legitimate boxing title. You think he has a chance against Tommy Fury is a legitimate boxer. I'm not saying he's great, but he's a legitimate boxer.
So, listen, I don't know a ton about Tommy Fury. I have heard that if Jake Paul wins in convincing fashion on Sunday, he will likely end up ranked by one of the governing bodies, WBC or IBF, whatever. But from conversations I've had, Michael, Tommy Fury's not good.
Okay.
He's actually, you know, he was on a reality show in England. He lives off of his brother's name. He takes easy fights, and Jake Paul should win pretty easily. In fact, I saw Ariel Helwani the other day in Montreal at WWE Elimination Chamber, and he was telling me that some of the matches he's had previously already with people like Anderson Silva were probably bigger challenges than the quote-unquote legitimate boxer that is Tommy Fury.
And the one thing I would say about Jake Paul in the clips that I've watched him boxing, I don't know if you agree with me, Peter, he's not amateurish at all. He actually has some skills.
But no, I am now a full-on believer. I actually believe Jake Paul will be having big-time legitimate fights and will be one of the faces of boxing. I don't know if he'll go on to be great, but I think he's good enough that given his celebrity and how hard he works and the level of intrigue he brings, he will be like I am making, that is what I'm doing Sunday afternoon. I will make time to watch that fight. I think he's worth watching. I think he's super intriguing. I think he'll win. I think he'll get ranked. And then I think at some point we'll see what's up. But remember, guys, while everyone's talked about how Jake Paul hasn't fought anyone big time, go look at the early list of who like every great fighter has
they
ever
all get
fought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like go look at Mike Tyson fighting Donnie Long or Sam Scaff. I mean, people get set up with people they can beat. And they build, and then they maybe become great themselves.
And
Jake
Peter,
Paul
look
is certainly
at, look
worth
what
watching.
Mickey did with Rocky.
Well, yes, that How is that? True, but it's different.
Oh, by the way, that fight is 2 p.m. on ESPN Plus pay-per-view on Sunday. If you're interested, we're not trying to sell the fight, but it does intrigue me where a neophyte now is a legitimate boxer.
I mean, he's not even that much of a neophyte anymore. I mean, what is he?
Right.
Five, six fights in? I mean,
Paul is -170 according to Caesars.
You see?
And that Anthony Greek sent me that, and then he also added on, I don't bet. Okay, we'll play along, Anthony.
Don, you're liking the sound a little -160?
I am.
That's pretty good for a favorite who you'd imagine is going to win.
Because I think people getting caught up in Tommy Fury being a legitimate fighter / he's really good. Like, they don't both have to be the same, right? That he could be a legitimate fighter, but still
not be good.
Be somebody that
he could be a legitimate bum. He could be a legitimate jabroni whose name is the same as the best heavyweight of this generation. But, like, he's not at all the same guy as his brother.
Let's go to John in Apple Valley. Johnny.
Hey, happy Friday from the high desert of Southern California.
There you go. You.
Well, I'm calling because I couldn't make it in yesterday about Don's over 10-minute long list.
Okay.
Going home, Alvin Lee, the late great, 10 years after.
I'm not familiar with this.
And
maybe if I heard it, maybe
well,
I would
watch, well, if you watch the movie Woodstock, that was the show-stopping part of the movie Woodstock. Anyway, the second... And I can't believe that somebody didn't chime in with this one. Alice's Restaurant, Arlo Guthrie.
I love
that
song.
That's tough.
All right. I love that song. They play it. NEW used to play it every Thanksgiving. I actually enjoyed the movie.
I don't know if you're familiar with it, Michael. It's an Arlo Guthrie song, and he made it into a movie. The song's like 20 minutes long, and it's a lot of fun. I just don't know how high it charted. I probably reconsidering maybe could have put it in. Grand Funk Railroad also had a great song, Oh Captain, My Captain. Those are good. Those are legit. Peter, I just didn't know how familiar people were with Alice's Restaurant. And I'm not sure.
It's a big
I can't
thing
imagine
in my family.
It charted. And it probably didn't chart because you can't edit it. There's no way to edit it. It's a whole story.
Right.
And Matthew Broderick's father is a star in the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you know anything about the song, Michael, or the movie?
No, on both.
You don't know
the song? I've heard of the movie. I've never seen it.
But the song is much bigger than the movie.
My family used to have a tradition of listening to that song every year.
Right around the Christmas tree, right?
Well, basically, but minus the Christmas tree, but around Christmas time.
Well, when it was written, Thanksgiving and Christmas were separated by a greater distance than it is now. In the sense that you're already putting up the Christmas tree and already have ads for Christmas sales like on Halloween. But back when the song was written, it was like, well, we can't make it a holiday song. Christmas is too far away.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.